Once again, this is Tiffany Earle, and welcome to today's call. The topic, let me introduce it. We're speaking today on the new scholar project that we're introducing. We've been asked to create this scholar project for years, for a long time. And so I was going to bed last night, I was thinking about this. Putting this project together was really, really an amazing experience. And for a long time, we couldn't put it together, even though people begged us for it and requested it. And I want to tell you why. Before I get into the history of the creation of this project, I want to let you know that we have Penelope Milne with us and Amy Bowler. Both Penelope, before we ever offer a scholar project to you, we pilot the scholar project for a couple of years in the classroom. And Amy Bowler and her husband Kent Bowler and Penelope Milne are our trainers and the mentors who piloted this project. We kept it really, really tight like that so that we could perfect it. And of course, every project we're always adding, they're like living projects. We're continually adding things or taking away or doing what we need to do to make adjustments. The reason why this project couldn't be created 10 years ago or had to wait was because the only analogy that I could give is as if someone asked us to bake a cake, but that flour hadn't been invented yet and eggs weren't in the U.S. yet, or the right spices weren't, we didn't know how to get them out of the herbs yet to make the cake, right? Like if we wanted nutmeg in the cake. What happened is Penelope and I talked over the years, the pieces of this project were some of our focuses. And then when it was time to create this project, it was so easy because the pieces were already created. And I guess you'll understand that more as we go into the details. But it was really almost miraculous as we realized what it was that we were teaching in this project.
Can I interject something here? You talked about the pieces, and I just want to clarify really quickly. You know, I've been really talking a lot to people, attending some conferences and having rubbing shoulders with some amazing people who are teachers and curriculum writers alike. And I want to just explain that when you write curriculum, you have to have not only book content for reading, but you also have to have a direction you want to take the class. And that typically means that you have to come up with some kind of a lecture series that goes along with the class. For all of you who know The Key of Liberty, you know that the lecture series, a lot of them come out of three main books, which would be The 5,000-Year Leap, the Democracy in America, Democracy in America, Making America Actually, yes, you're right, Making America the Next Semester, and then Montesquieu's The Spirit of the Laws. So, and you can take direct content out of that and create your lectures. So the most difficult part about writing a curriculum, we call our projects because they're project-based. In the end, we hope that they come out with something very meaningful instead of something that's just, you know, they can throw away and never care about ever again, which is the big difference between our public school experiences and our project-based learning and leadership in the leadership model. So you have to have some content that you're going to put into lectures. And Tiffany has told this story before, but maybe some of you heard it. When there was a university who went to a professor in England and said, would you be interested in coming to America and being a visiting professor for a year? And he said, well, that depends. What would be expected of me? And they said, well, you know, you would be lecturing several times a week. And he said, I can't do that. I'm good. I'm good if I can come up with two lectures a year. Right, Tiffany? Because
it was like at the very most he could do like one a month or something.
Yeah. He said maybe three. Because what true liberal arts teachers know is that when they're giving a lecture, when they're delivering information to their audience, they're not reading it out of a textbook. they have spent time and effort and energy to understand a subject so well that they're able to come up with some kind of original delivery of this content. And so when Tiffany's talking about these components, what she's saying is we've spent the last 10 years coming up with content, original content, and we are taking that original content that we've come up with and putting it into this this project. So it literally is the culmination of, I would say, 12 years, wouldn't you, Tiffany, of our study and what we think a 15, 16, 17-year-old young person would need to be successful in their own self-direction. And that's why it's taken us so long, because we've been collecting information and creating content for the last 12 years for this amazing culminating project. So sorry for interrupting, but I thought that was important for them to know.
I'm glad that you added that and helped clarify that. Thank you. All right, the way that this call is going to go, because there's three of us on the call, is I'm going to be introducing and asking a question to both Melody and Amy to comment on, and then I'll add my comments and then ask the next question, just to let you know how this is going to work out. So my first question is for Amy and Melody, and we're going to start with Melody. And the question is, what is your vision of this project? What do you think happens with the kids, with our students, with our, oh my goodness, they're so yummy and delicious at this age. I love 15, 16, 17-year-olds. And so my question is, what is your vision for them? What do you think this project does for them?
Well, first of all, I want to say that 15, 16, 17-year-olds can be very delicious and wonderful, because they have so many beautiful horizons ahead for them. But I will tell you that the world does not want them to be successful. And in fact, I believe that our whole system is designed to create little robots out of them and snap and zap all the life and energy and creativity out of them at this age, because they want them so badly to conform to this world of jobs that have been created for them. Now, I'm not saying that I don't think that our children should and will want to prepare themselves for some kind of contribution to the world. This is what I think will free them to actually make their true contribution to the world. So I'm hoping, my vision for this is that they will be able to see themselves in at least cast a vision for themselves for the next 5 years, and they'll actually be able to tangibly see it. They'll be able to have the confidence and the skills and the abilities and the fearlessness it's going to take for them to create that the next 5 years for their life. And I would even like to see the next 10 years a really strong vision of that. And I can give you some examples of that from my experiences, but I'm going to wait for the next question. That's what I'm hoping of this.
Okay. And then before I go to Amy, you've given me a vision for the student. Give me a little bit of a vision for the project.
I can go ahead and go into that. The vision of the project is that we are going to equip them with vision, mission, ability, skills, and knowledge that they need to create their life with their parents and mentor from the age of 15, we're hoping 15, 16 years old, to 20-something, so that they can cast a future for themselves and say, this is where I feel I'm being led. I'm going to go down this direction, and I'm going to create everything I want, I need to around it. I can give you an example now that you're asking me that. My daughter did this project 2 years ago, and she was 16 at the time, and it's been a most miraculous experience for her, because at the beginning of the project she said, okay, I'm going to dare to dream, and I'm going to dare to look at my life for the next 5 years, which is a very scary thing for these kids to do. And it takes some emotional and spiritual direction for them to be able to really do it. She said, you know, she chose to do something that was so scary for her because she didn't believe she could do it. She said, I want to get a scholarship to the college of my choice in music. And the two things she wanted mostly is to get that scholarship and to learn Spanish. Well, actually, not learn Spanish, to go to Ecuador. Those are the two things. And then she set her whole course for that year to create that in her life. And that was huge because she had to get ready to take the ACT, and she had to think about, you know, the college of her choice, and she had to think about if she wanted to spend the next 4 years going to, or, you know, 4 years going to that college. So literally that year it took her to get into college, and then the idea that she would be in that college for 4 years is a five-year projection. Although things have gone a little bit differently in her life since some things in our church changed as far as age-wise was concerned. She did go to Ecuador. She did learn Spanish. She did raise the money. She had to raise $4,000, and now she's fluent in Spanish, and she's just gotten a mission call to a Spanish-speaking mission. So I just feel like the whole thing is miraculous. But that's what we're hoping for them to be able to do, is have the tools that they can create a life like that.
Wonderful. Okay, Amy, what is your vision of this project? I know that Amy was on here, so let me see if I need to unmute her.
Does she have the...
She might be muted. Let me unmute her. I can do it.
Yes, speakers.
Oh. Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes, we can hear you. Awesome, thanks. Okay, I have to add one more thing to what Anneli said, because her daughter also got that scholarship that she worked so hard for, and we don't, anyway, her daughter's an amazing example of this class. What I see for vision is very much what Anneli was saying. A lot of times we hear about people this age or even 40-year-olds needing to take time off from their life to find themselves. And I think there's a reason for that, and because there's some truth to that. And at this phase in their life, I think the youth really need a change of pace. They need a change from what they've been doing, which for a lot of them is apprentice scholar phase. But when we look at what most people end up doing when they are taking this time off to find themselves, is a lot of wandering and a lot of without a lot of direction and not really going anywhere, and at the end of it, not any different. But what I see for the vision.
Can I say something here? I think what you're saying is we see a lot of aimlessness, even though they may be doing a ton of stuff and their plates are completely full.
Yes.
It's aimless.
Yes. Yeah. And it's full because, and I know we as parents, because I have had teenagers this age and have them this age now, and we start, the older they get, we start to get the panic feeling. They're getting older. There's this college looming, this life thing looming, and it seems like the conveyor belt starts to suck us back, like stronger than ever as parents. And so a lot of times it's us as parents that are feeling their time with all these activities, but that they didn't choose for a reason, for a vision, like you're talking about, Annelity, this 5-year purpose or even this 10-year purpose, but more like, well, what can I do this year? And that's what this project does, is it helps them get this more of a long-term vision and say, where is it that I want to do? And give them the tools so that they can have the courage to really dream and to really gain a vision for themselves. Where do I want to be in 5 years? And if that's where I want to be, and these are the abilities and skills I want to gain, then what should I do this year? How do I get there? And then because they have a personal coach, that coach can help guide them along with their parents to know those next steps to go that they need to do so that they can actually reach their goals and their vision of who they want to become. And it's more than just tangible accomplishments. It's actually characteristics, you know, who they're becoming as a person also.
Yeah, and I'd like to add to that, Amy, not only are the students going to be transformed by this, but I think the mentors are going to be transformed by this. First of all, I think this project is really going to give the mentor all the tools they need to create a project curriculum, because it basically, it's all the magic that Tiffany and I have been using to create our projects, you know. We give them all the tools to do that because the students have to have it, right?
Right.
So this the mentor is going to be given those tools also. And if the mentor is willing to pick up those tools and say, hey, I want to create something beautiful for, you know, my family, my children, my community, I think we'll see a lot more creative project-based learning going on inside.
Like,
go ahead.
And in fact, we have developed how to create a scholar project. We're not launching that this year, and maybe we'll see that next summer to really be focused on those very specific skills, right, Annelity?
Right.
I want to add something here before I move on to the next question, and it's about creativity.
I want to point this word out to everybody because the students literally will be empowered